Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Donald Trump. No, I mean Chris Matthew. Tonight is our Halloween party show. With us tonight is historian and host of Understanding Propaganda, Corey Hughes. Corey, how you doing?
Good. Happy Halloween.
We got host of Raised by Giants, Ryder Lee. Ryder, what's up?
Transgender Karen in the house, baby. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got host of Inside the Cube, X Cube 420. How you doing?
Doing well, but I see only me and Corey are sane tonight, so.
Yes, half of us. That's okay. All right, I'm taking this shit off because I can't speak. All right, we're going to have some fun. Maybe tell some Halloween stories. And everyone out there in the audience, please feel free to join in the chat to leave your own comments, questions, and stories. So like I said, let's have some fun tonight. First, let's start off with each of you. How do you feel about Halloween as a holiday? Like, did you like it as a kid? Did you participate? Let's start with you, Big Titty Rider.
Yes, sir. Well, I'd just like to say the other day when I tried to go into a Starbucks and order my mocha latte with extra fucking two pumps of Maggiasato, new fucking caramel cream and whipped cream with a cherry on top and a side of children's tears, I got home and drank it and realized that there was no children's tears in it. And I was very pissed off. You know that taste whenever you drink children's tears, you can only always taste it. So I went right to the manager and I was like, you need to take this back and give me a new fucking caramel frappuccino with children's tears. I don't care how you get them. You give me those children's tears. And I got my drink for free. So fuck it.
Man, congratulations for standing up what you believe in. That's
really right, awesome. Ryder. Just to let you know, I've been schooled on the Frappuccino game, the iced coffee game. It requires four pumps, four sugars, and four creamers. Okay, to get right. I mean, so
you know what?
For future reference.
You know what? Like, I was thinking about this today. I was like, you know how, like, okay, so if I just got like a Starbucks cup, right? And I guarantee you, if I just had a Starbucks cup and I took it to the fucking gas station, filled it up with gas station coffee, threw a few freaking creamers in there, a few sugars, and gave it to someone, they would drink it and be like, damn, this is fucking good. Guarantee you, bro, they wouldn't even know the difference just because it's in a Starbucks cup, dude.
Yeah, you're ridiculous, right?
That's the way we should do it. We should set up outside of Starbucks with fucking gas station coffee and then be like, oh,
you can
yeah,
always tell Starbucks coffee because it tastes burnt.
So does now, gas station coffee even worse.
Yeah, people don't use intuition or feelings or their own thoughts anymore. They just go off of what others tell them. You know, that's the new thing to do. That's the way
so much easier.
It. Yes, of course.
Yeah. So Corey, much easier not to think.
How you feel about Halloween, man? Would you dress up as a kid?
I did. I don't recall much of my, wait a minute. I really don't remember much past yesterday. Must've been all them drugs I did. No, I did Halloween as a kid all the time. I couldn't even remember any costumes, but yeah, I always thought it was fun, you know, but now it's obviously just a fucking satanic ritual to indoctrinate kids.
I just realized, Ryder, you didn't even tell us about your childhood as Halloween. You just went to the child tears and the drinking coffee, man. What's up with that?
Little blitzed. I did a few like Halloween things. Like whenever I was younger, I loved fucking Power Rangers, dude. I always wanted to be a Power Ranger, and I always like, you know, my grandma would always get me every single Power Rangers costume. It didn't matter if it was the pink one, the yellow one, the green one, the blue one. Like, I had all of them, and I would always be like a Power Ranger every single year when I was growing up.
Oh, hell yeah. And by the way, let's go Brandon. Welcome, Brandon.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate the support. I'm getting everywhere. I color me motivated. I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Hey, man, hey, this is great. We're able to see you today.
Yes. What's up, Moneymaker?
This is fantastic. Yeah,
I know. My camera was all dicked up last time, dude. It's good to see you, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
Chris,
so
thank you guys.
Are the dots behind you, Brandon, moving, or is it just me?
It is, well, I took 3 hits of acid about 22 minutes ago, so this might get really fun. Those are actually a projection from a little, one of those little cheap things you can buy online, and it projects like this aurora and like all these lights, and they kind of twist and move and stuff, so you're not mistaken in that they are moving is the answer to your question.
Everything's been moving since I started doing drugs when I was like 15, so it's hard to tell sometimes.
Heard that, but these are purposefully moving, so yes.
Good observation.
The weirdest is when you go and sit down in the bathroom and the tiles on the floor start sliding. That's the weirdest one.
That's nothing, bro. I was literally seeing fucking faces in my lava lamp the other day, dude.
I figured that shit'll stop one of these days.
Alien faces in my lava lamp.
You walk through a door. Do you ever go through like a door frame and it goes?
No, but I do get the long hallway thing. I get the long hallway thing a lot.
Yeah, I get constant traces and stuff. So yeah, drugs, awesome. All right. So Ryder, you're a Power Ranger. So that was, you know, your Halloween highlights is Power Rangering.
Yeah, Power Rangering around, whipping ass and fucking Judy chopping people that don't need Judy chopping.
Fuck yeah. What about you, XQ? How was your Halloween childhood?
Halloween childhood. I went trick-or-treating one time, I believe. See, my sister was born, so I think I was around 8 or 9. And then I told my mom I never wanted to do it again. It was cold. It was raining. I could care less. And, you know, I mean, that was pretty much it. My Halloween from there on out was my grandmother getting me candy corn because that's all I wanted. So that was, and I didn't really dress up. When I was growing up, I did always want to be a ninja, but I didn't have the requisite skills.
X-Cube, you know I'm suspicious of people who enjoy candy corn. So just so you know, you're on my watch.
There was a candy corn shortage this year.
Hold on, but why?
Just candy corn is just nauseating to me. I've never enjoyed it. If you gave me candy corn, I'd probably punch you.
Let me ask you this. Do you like cilantro?
Cilantro?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Not with my candy corn.
Probably not.
No, not together.
Well, I enjoy it as a garnish, maybe.
Street tacos and shit, man.
Sure, why not?
Okay, because to a lot of people, cilantro tastes like soap. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
That's weird.
It's like a genetic thing. My sister-in-law actually is one of these people, and they just cannot stand it because they think cilantro smells or tastes like soap. It might be like that with you and candy corn. It might taste like something crazy, and then, you know, X loves it. I'm with you. You know, I could go either way with it.
Sounds like a glitch in the Matrix.
You see, currently I have no desire for candy corn at all. I think it was just, you know, the only thing I wanted to eat at that moment. So, but 20 years ago, I'm pretty sure it was a whole lot better. But yeah, 20 plus years ago. So I probably haven't ate candy corn in 20 years.
So you think the reason that candy corn tastes like shit now is because it's declined, like it's processing or contents have declined. So it used to be good, but it's not anymore.
Yeah, I believe. That's interesting. What the ingredients they're using. It's kind of like your favorite restaurants. You know, they had great menu items, and they're like, oh, we're gonna bring something out new, and now it just all sucks.
I have a theory about this. So the things that we loved back in the day were usually pretty damn handmade, right? And so you have a lot of energy, physical human energy, an entity pouring their work and their craftsmanship and energy into that. So it has a different flavor and taste. This is why like homemade and like farmers markets and all that shit, it's not necessarily grown differently or whatever. Yes, it is to some degree, but there's energy that's put into producing that thing. And when we went automated, everything got real unauthentic. And it's kind of like it's like things don't taste the same and things don't look right. You know, things kind of suck or whatever. Yeah, it's faster and cheaper and easier to produce, but there's no like human energy that went into producing something specifically for your use.
Yeah, bro, because Amazon just puts it through a replicator machine, dude. And then that's how they spit out all their shit.
Something to it.
What about you, Brandon? Some,
impossible meat.
You have, how was your Halloween? Did you like Halloween as a child, as a kid growing up?
Yeah, they were just basic white dude in suburbia Halloweens, man. We went around, we dressed up, you know, as typical things. Definitely was a Power Ranger or two in there. And then we just went around to places and got candy. We also would like drive over to the other neighborhoods as we got older to know that they gave like the full bars away and everything. And then we got into pranks and doing all that shit as you get older. But yeah, as a kid, man, it's super basic, bitch.
Okay. I got a question for everybody because I heard two Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. So, I'm guessing we're going off the original show.
Yeah.
Now, everybody was the Green Ranger, correct? Because they had the best weapon. The Green? Am I right?
No, I was mean, all of them, bro.
The red.
No, no, well, I'm just saying the Green Ranger because it was. I mean, he was both good and evil at one point in time.
Yeah.
And I thought he was the best one.
Went there.
Yeah. A little bit of the dark side.
Yeah, I was the red one. I don't know, and it was definitely not in that category whenever I was younger. I didn't think about it that way, of course. But now that you say that, of course, yeah, we all do that, right? It's our shadow side. Absolutely. Yeah. I like it. I saw where you went. Yeah. Smelling what you're stepping in, and I like it.
Yeah, I know. I've probably been there way too long if I was thinking about that as a child.
Yeah, me myself, I was from a little bit earlier generation, you know, Transformers, He-Man, things of that nature. But same shit, you know, I grew up in a pretty much upper middle class neighborhood, going around to all the houses, getting the best candies and dressing up like a little idiot every year. But it was fun, you know. It's not like it's become nowadays where every day is Halloween because you got to wear a mask every day. But yeah, we're living in different times now.
Yeah, hey. Now Transformer. Now you're talking about the Transformer movie, right? The original.
No, I am talking about old school Transformers animated.
Well, you know, cartoon.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Where Optimus Prime dies early in the movie, Megatron technically dies, and then gets turned into Galvatron in outer space. You see, I'm going deep like that.
Yeah, that's too deep because I did too many drugs to remember. So yes,
That's fair enough. We'll take that answer.
Well,
what was the most creative costume you guys have ever done?
Oh man,
like the most creative.
I dressed up as a black guy.
Okay.
Well done. Yeah, but from the hood though. From the hood. So I mean, like I had the baggy breeches, I had the South Pole jacket, had my do-rag, you know, my white tee. I mean I went all out. The thing is, all my friends realized, they're like, hey, we understand what's going on, but when we went to parties, they were like, what's this guy dressed up as?
I think it's racially insensitive.
It is.
Why it's funny.
Yeah, but, you know, everybody was like, oh, what are you dressed up as? I said, I'm dressed up as a black guy. They were like, I don't get it. You're black. I said, of course you don't get it. You don't hang out with me. So all my friends understand what I'm doing here, though.
Nice. That's creative. What about you, Corey?
Oh, I don't recall at all. Like, I must have a mental block.
Yeah, I think as a really young age, I dressed up as George Washington one time for some reason. I don't know. I was a weird kid.
Eighth president of the United States.
Bro, it was like consisted of cotton balls and stuff like that. So
I remember doing Sesame Street when I was like a real little kid.
You did Sesame Street?
Yeah, for sure.
He did the whole cast. It was called on Pornhub.
Yeah. I remember like Fruit of the Loom.
I remember I did Grover one year and I did Big Bird one year. And I don't really remember anything after that.
Oh, that's hot. Can I get videos of that?
Yeah.
Grover one year.
You know how tall fucking Big Bird is, bro? I was talking about Big Bird the other day and I was like, I wonder how tall that motherfucker is. Anyone have any idea how tall he is?
I'd say like 8-9 feet.
Yeah, he's like 8 feet tall. I was like, holy shit, that is a tall ass motherfucker, dude.
Yeah, really big bird. Yeah.
Huge bird. Mega bird.
All right, great segue. So I want to hear the scariest story that's ever happened to you personally, or something you've heard, if nothing ever terrifying has ever happened to you. It doesn't have to be paranormal. It doesn't have to be anything that you can't explain. Just some scary shit in your life that has happened and that you'd like to share with the audience. And I'll go first. I'll start with my wonderful, terrifying story as a teenager. Now, from my teenage years on through mid-20s, I experimented with lots of psychedelics. I still occasionally experiment with a little psilocybin, but this was LSD at the time, and my friends and I enjoyed taking very heroic doses just to see what happened. You know, it wasn't anything spiritual back then at the time. It was just about partying and having fun. So we were idiots. So we decided, you know, take a good bit. I don't remember exactly how much we took at the time, but it was extremely powerful, potent acid. And I was about 15 at the time. And this was early 90s. So we wait for everything to kick in. Everything's going great. You know, we're having a blast first couple hours. We decide then at this point to go walking through the swampy woods of Louisiana, which was, I think, a very bad idea. We got separated somehow. The next thing I remember is I am staring at a tree, and I'm staring at this tree, which is now consists of all kinds of beautiful worms and butterflies and things swirling around it, and the tree starts to envelop me, and I become one with the tree, and then the rest is a fucking blur. This is where things get extremely weird, folks. If you have not tried acid, I don't recommend heroic doses to start out with it as a 15-year-old. But anyway, I started to, I guess I recall after this point, I think I went walking further, and I don't know what is reality or what is fiction, but I'll tell you what I remember. I remember being surrounded by a Little League team, and they all were standing around me, staring at me with their jaws open, and I remember explaining to them that I was magic, and I could melt into the ground, and I can disappear before their eyes, and just all this insane stuff. And then I did. I just melted before their eyes, and they all went, "Oh my God, he melted!" So, you know, this continues for a few minutes. High strangeness. I don't know what's real, what's not. Reality starts to creep in a little bit, and I don't know how much time has passed, but I know that I'm half awake and half in this dream state, walking down the street, walking in some unknown neighborhood. I don't know where I am at this point. I was in the woods before, now I'm in the neighborhood, and cars are passing very slowly by me, and as they pass by, I am tapping on their window and then waving into the window as they slowly pass by, and I can see the passengers in their car with their jaws wide open going, "Oh my God, what is he on?" You know, just random. And this happened for about, you know, it seemed forever, but I think I did it to about at least 5 or 6 cars as they passed by. And again, I don't know how much of this was I was really doing. And then I start hearing voices in the background yelling, and then it's my friends. They found me, and they're like, "Oh my God, where have you been?" And apparently I was talking, you know, gibberish, and at times not even English. And they were trying to get information out of me about where I was been. I was full of dirt, like I was extremely dirty, and they don't know how I survived. They saw me knocking on people's car windows, and they were like, they couldn't believe that the cops hadn't been called on me. So slowly more time passes, and I'm coming to realization that, oh, I think I just overdosed a little bit. I don't know what happened here. Then, you know, I started freaking out, and I was still, you know, under the influence of quite a bit of acid, and my friends continue to tell me that they lost me in the woods. I tell them my side of the experience. Until this day, I am not sure what happened for about 9 or 10 hours of my life. I know that I was physically wandering around. I know I had encounters with people, but how I survived, how I got back to where I was, I don't know. But the more I thought about it, the more terrifying it became, and the more I realized, yes, I could have easily have gone to jail or gotten killed. But it's a fun story now, so I'm telling it to the world. And that's my fun, scary Halloween story, everyone. Who would like to go next?
What's even better is if you subscribe to the quantum immortality thing, you probably died several times that night. But you just quantum jumped into a parallel reality where stuff was like, there's a dash between kit and kat now. And you're still alive because you still have a mission here to continue. You may have died several times that night. You may die all the time, but you just jump into different realities to keep your, because your consciousness in this example never dies. You just continue to go on. So you may have, dude.
I'm really interested in this other tongue you were speaking in. I mean, was it a dark tongue? You know, like Middle Earth dark tongue?
Well,
it was
a combination of English, and I was saying somehow I was, you know, I know that they told me I pulled multiple items out of someone's ass, and I can't remember whose ass I was talking about, but they said that I was pulling things out of someone's ass, and I was like telling them about it, and it was just the strangest things that I didn't understand at all. So yeah, that's the tongues I was speaking in.
Did you pull it out of their ass with your tongue, bro?
It probably so. I probably don't want to remember what was happening in reality. But yeah. So yeah, that's it.
Oh shit.
That was a fun experience, and I'm grateful to be alive after that.
Where did your friends go, bro? Did they just disappear when you morphed into the tree?
They were hanging out together. They ended up finding bikes and like riding around and having a great old time, and I'm lost in, you know, limbo land, hanging out with virtual, you know, etheric Little League players and melting into dust. I don't know. It was very odd.
Were they tripping too?
Yes, they were. Yes, all three of us were. So it was, that was quite the most profound, LSD experience that I've had, I believe. So, who wants to share a scary story with us? I'm going to call on somebody.
I guess I'll go. Yeah. So, one time on Halloween, me and a bunch of my friends decided to go out to this part of my hometown that's called the TNT area. Some might be familiar. That's where the Mothman was spotted back in the 50s and 60s. And so we went out there. There's a bunch of these bunkers out there that used to be used for ammunition storage. But like now people just go out there and party. Like there's a shit ton of them. Like you can just walk around and they're like underground. But a lot of them are open. Some of them are still sealed, but because they're still being used for storage and stuff, but a lot of them are just open. So me and my friends and like a bunch of girls, of course, we decided to go out there and just have a good time. And we had glow sticks and shit that we would break open and like throw them at each other and shit. Cause whenever it's dark outside, like everyone like lights up with like glow sticks. It's a lot of fun if you haven't ever done it, but I had like a shit ton of weed with me, like really good fucking weed. And I had two giant quarts of moonshine. And we were all passing it around. Like I rolled like three blunts. We had them in like constant rotation, drinking moonshine and shit. And at some point I don't know how, because we walked all the way down the road, right? Because there's super long stretches of road and there's a lake on one side. On in the other side of the road, there's the underground bunkers. And we went all the way to the end of the road. It's like a 2 mile walk to get to the very end of the road. And there was one bunker that was out there that had been blown up. And we were like, oh yeah, we're going to make a fire here so, you know, we can keep warm and shit. And somehow I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And I grabbed like a stick, like I grabbed like a big giant walking stick. And then I just started walking in the opposite direction of like where everyone was at. And they ended up finding me sitting on the ground inside of one of these bunkers with a rock in my hand, drawing something on the ground. And like they came and got me and they said that my eyes were like rolled into the back of my head and that some, like I was saying something. It might have been those weird fucking languages that you were talking about, Chris. You never fucking know. But I was like seeing some weird shit and I was like writing on the ground with this rock, like trying to etch something into the ground of this bunker. And like they came and got me and like set me up and like I don't remember any of it. Somehow I ended up at my friend's house sitting on the ground in his bedroom. And like that's when I like fucking woke up. So yeah, it was a little weird. And that's not the only kind of instance that I've had like that, and it wasn't even surrounded by drugs. Like one time I legitimately think that I was close to being possessed, but who the fuck knows. It was some weird shit though.
Wow, man, you had a oogity boogity spirit trying.
I don't know if it was the drugs or if it was just some weird shit, because apparently that whole that whole area in the TNT area is like built on top of like Indian burial grounds, which I don't know if that's really true.
Oh, hell, not Penn Cemetery.
Yeah. But the town was the first battle of the Revolutionary War. So, like, literally Native Americans were all along the river, and it's only like 2 miles away from the river. So whenever they say that shit is built on top of Indian burial grounds, like back in West Virginia, it's probably pretty legit.
Yeah, I wonder
I like
how much
how you said that, though.
Go ahead. Good, actually.
Yeah, I like how you said that you were on the cusp of being demonically possessed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all I said, man. I mean, it was real close.
Close.
I mean, yeah. It was right on top of me, and then it's like, nah, I go get somebody else. I'm good. I'm gonna leave Ryder alone.
Yeah. That's it. No, I think it's interesting, man. Like, I've heard of other people that have had, you know, kind of missing time, and that they said that someone that was with them at the time said that they started acting like crazy. Like, this one instance, and it was also in the 90s, a couple of my friends said that they were doing cocaine together, and his friend that he was with started speaking in tongues, and he thought it was Latin, and his eyes rolled back in his head. So it's very strange. I wonder if some of the effects of these, you know, drugs or different entheogens that could be having, you know, these effects on people.
Well, oh, yeah, it's for sure the drugs.
Show the drugs.
You know, kind of shake you off of your center point. It opens you up to other entities if you believe in that type of thing that kind of hang out and they kind of drive. They take over. They take the wheel for a little while. And then whenever you come down or go back to baseline, then that's when you regain this. But there's kind of, you know, some would say a little piece of that still in there. And you got to kind of work that shit out by whatever means that's necessary. But that's what they say. Altered states is an alteration to your vibration. It just depends on what kind of altered state you find yourself in. Alcohol is a real low vibe state. You know, that's where they get spirits, that word, you know, and alcohol. But it's like a vibrational thing. So whenever you do that, you invite this different literal entity to enter you. And that's why it's so juxtaposition to what your baseline actually is, personality wise.
Is that like the same thing you would get like from like doing the Ouija board deal?
You're like inviting it, you know, you're lowering your vibration. Mm-hmm. You're kind of inviting this experience to take place, but that means them matching your vibration as well. If you think of it in terms of frequency, like what Tesla was talking about. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then yeah, I mean, you've got to get into that state, and then you're calling it forth, like you're speaking it into existence. You're bringing something out now, whether that's real or not, or if it's just like a tulpa, it's like a figment of your imagination that you just create, but it has physical ramifications in this reality. And there are dozens of examples of that being a very true thing. Then that's also possible. I mean, it could be fucking all us. It could be just made up by everybody.
How do you explain people getting possessed that's not on drugs though? That just be a more powerful entity?
Well, that or just a vibrational thing. People don't ask the ancillary questions. Like, were they going through a divorce? Did their mom just die? Like, what was their mental state? Were they eating well? Do they have a good support group? Like, there's a lot of things that play into your vibration. Altered state doesn't necessarily mean bad, because you could have psychedelic experiences or the higher vibrational type where you have actual positive contact with meaningful intent with those entities that possess similar powers, but with different, I guess, intentions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So just a shift in reality, period, right?
Yeah. Or there's, this is all the same reality and you're just amplifying it in some way, or finding a way to look at it that's always there, but you can't see it unless you kind of are very diligent about working towards being able to achieve that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So could we also go back to that argument where they talk about the id, like what your inner self is actually being manifested. You speak on that, the id per se.
Yeah, writer, or did you want me to? I mean, we're just having a deep. We were talking about titties, I think, right?
yeah. Well, it just
we're talking about buttholes a minute ago.
Yeah. I mean, and then it might shift back. I mean, it might shift back to a butthole.
Shift to an id butthole.
I've got an extremely scary clip that I want Chris to show right here in a few minutes from my Twitter page. Just extremely.
Let me allow you some screen sharing here.
Is this going to freak me out? Because I'm not good with shit like this.
Yeah, but I don't know if I can do this.
Hold on. I got to find my. Okay.
I'm on an iPad. I mean, I have no clue what I'm doing.
All right. You are allowed to share if you can. If not, just email it to me. I'll share it.
Okay. All right. Will do. Y'all keep talking because I have no clue what I'm doing.
All right. So let's go to Corey. Corey, you got any scary stories for us?
I don't think so, man. I think I'm fucking boring.
Oh man. So you never you weren't even like raped by a Karen or like, you know, chased by a Bigfoot or so? I don't know.
No, man. I mean, I had some scary shit going on when I was a cop, but that was about it, and I don't want to talk about it. So,
gotcha. Yeah, that's too scary.
Yeah, too real.
Too scary. All right, Brandon, what you got?
Real life scary.
What you got scary for us?
I mean, I've got shit trip experiences as well. My first time I ever took acid, but as far as like extrasensory or paranormal or anything, I have not, to my knowledge, really experienced anything like that. But to what you said when you said a trip story, I was like, oh, fuck yeah. I can do that. So the first time I ever took acid, I took two hits of liquid acid, both just directly on. and I'd never done any psychedelic before. I didn't even stair step it into mushrooms. I'd smoke pot and all that good shit, but had these two things. Now, I still lived in, I was like still in high school, so I still lived with my parents at the time. And I made up the story that, hey, we're going out to hang out at a friend's house. He's having, you know, a thing or whatever. Of course, his parents are there, blah, 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 lies, lies. We get out of the house. We're good for the night. We go do it. Two hits of acid. My friend had gotten a settlement from an incident that he'd been in when he was a lot younger, from like a wreck or something. And so they settled with him when he was 18. He got like fucking 100 grand or something like that. And they just gave this 18-year-old kid 100 grand. So he bought a motorcycle. So the why he plays into this is because he got me really, he was like one of my best friends. So we did a lot of shit together, and that meant a lot of drugs. I mean, I would do, you know, ecstasy, all that shit. That's what I did with this dude. He got me introduced to all kinds of crazy shit. The only rule is no needle drugs. Thank God I've always stuck by that. But anyway, so we do this acid or whatever. We go to a hotel because he had these hotel parties all the time. And so there'd be everything you could think of there. We get everybody, and we're high school kids. You know, it's just basically this Richie Rich. It just all of a sudden came into money that's never had it. And so, of course, we fucked it off. So we do this shit. We're at the hotel room. We're smoking. We're drinking. We're doing the thing. The acid's really starting to kick in. I started climbing up these poles. Now, this is in Houston. So I get, you know, the freeway overpasses where it's like the trellis shit and the big signs with the spotlights on the overpasses.
I'm not familiar, but
highways and shit. Anyway, we climbed one of these big bastards, and I'm sitting up there on acid. The light's shining on me. Cars are going under the overpass and shit. It was crazy. While up there, I get a phone call from my mom saying, you got to come home. And I was like, fuck. And it was like instant hard. I'm like crying. I'm throwing up. I'm like hanging out of my friend's car as he's driving me to my parents' house, just puking my guts out. I get to the house. I sit down. My mom and dad didn't know I did anything. And so, you know, my eyes are all fucking crazy out, and I'm tripping my fucking nuts off. And she's bitching me out about something, and her fucking eye pops out of her head, rolls down her face, and she steps on it as she's mad and yelling at me and shit. I'm trying to keep my shit together, but I'd never even seen the walls ripple or the tiles slip like Corey was talking about. I'd never seen anything like that. So I wasn't mentally ready for any of this shit, let alone getting fucking my ass handed to me while on this shit. So she didn't know it all. She said, what are you drunk? I said, yes, I'm drunk, and shut the door. And then I continued to just crazy trip my balls off in my high school room for a long time. and you know, and just like you, though, you had a shit experience with it, but it didn't drive you away from psychedelics. Why is that?
Well, for me, it's because, you know, I don't know, it wasn't a scary, like it was scary at first, but then when I look back, even the next day, I was like curious about it. I'm like, huh. Yeah. You know, because at first, when it first kicked in, I was having a blast. And I think it was just, you know, I took too much. I made a mistake. I was, you know, started out too big. And then I kept going. You know, I took a smaller dose next time, and it was a lot better. I didn't get lost. And I actually consider psychedelics now like a visit to the therapist, because mm-hmm. the whole time, I mean, even if you have an uncomfortable trip or a bad trip afterwards, it's like, I needed that. I needed to experience that. I needed to realize, because it gives you realizations. It brings things that to the forefront that you're fucking up on that you don't want to admit, but it's going to let you know. So that's what I love about it. It's like a therapist that kicks me in the ass when I need a good kick in the ass and got to get back on track, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of back on track, where's that Twitter vid at? Bam! All right, you like that segue, son?
Whoa. All right, Excuse, what you got for us?
Yeah. Oh, I sent it to you.
Oh, you sent it? Okay, all right. So we're going to have to keep talking here. Hold on. I got to pull this thing up.
Yeah, I sent it to you.
All good, but you're absolutely right. And this is what I thought, too, because it didn't drive me away from it either. I was just like, well, that was a shit trip. I bet the next one's going to be better. I was just like, well, that's not a fair experience. You know, I have to at least have two. You know, I can't judge it all on one shitty experience, right? So yeah. I don't know, but tried it again and loved it. And actually, the first time I ever did mushrooms, I took way too fucking much because I didn't know any better. Somebody gave me a bag of like 14 grams of mushrooms. I just threw them on a blender with some Kool-Aid and a little bit of water and fucking chugged that shit.
Yeah, 14 grams.
I didn't know any different. So I then sat there for like 30 minutes, whatever, went and puked my ass off, and I opened my eyes, and it was just a new dimension, man. And that was it for about 10 hours. It was awesome. And so, but it didn't trip me out. Like, it wasn't a bad trip at all, because I felt like I'd already gotten that under my belt, you know, I'd already done that. It's like, oh, okay.
So you're doing that, that's it right there. It's terrible. Make sure you rewind that and make sure you have it turned up.
Hold on. Let me, Ah, let me turn the volume on. Hold on a second.
But the what's that? I can't say that I've ever done any psychedelic drugs.
Do you want to set up the clip? What are we about to watch?
Yeah, what are we watching?
Okay.
That's dope. Can you hear me? Hold on.
What has just happened?
All right. Every time I pull
the show itself took acid.
All right, another dimension.
Okay.
Line us up, XQ, before I share this.
Yeah, setting up the clip. We've got a gentleman out there, and he is interviewing a transgender guy out there in the street. I don't know exactly what city this is in, but he's asking people in the street about their experiences and what's the craziest experience that they've had in their life. That's the setup for this. So yes, you can go ahead and let it rip. Now, who you're speaking to is a transgender, or I'm guessing.
Well, hopefully you'll be able
Ryder,
to hear
you know
this.
What we're talking about today.
All right, hopefully y'all guys can hear this. Let's try it.
What the fuck are we watching here? And why is it echoing?
Okay, was that the whole clip?
No, you didn't. You played.
Because I couldn't hear anything. Oh man, I couldn't hear anything.
It's like echoing.
So, here's my thing: like transgender people allegedly make up about 0.006% of the population. So how the fuck do you even find one of them on the street? Like you got a better chance of finding a four-leaf clover.
Yeah, did
she just say that she got butt fucked by 1,000 people?
I think 400. settle down. She's working on 1,000.
Okay, yeah, so go through that. This gentleman says that, you know, it goes down to a sex dungeon. The only way you can get in there is by taking your clothes off. It's completely dark. He said when he went down there, four people fucked him in the ass, and they all came in his ass. And, it was really a great experience. There was, like, fluids everywhere, and it was really a really good time. And the guy in the street's like, but that's some freaky shit, man.
It'd be funny as if everyone had night vision goggles except him.
Yeah. I'm just like, man, there is no way. Look, trust me on this one. I believe that this person right here would be telling you to go take a vaccine right afterwards. I mean, I ain't no doubt about it. It's be the same dude saying, man, I don't trust you. You ain't got your vaccine. And then he go get fucked by people randomly in the dark. And they all come in his ass. And he even said, I believe some of them pissed on me as well. That's what he said. He said, I believe they did. There's just fluids everywhere. So you don't know what's happening. It's just a really good time.
If you don't support these people, you are a conspiracy theorist and you need to be shunned from society. I'm sorry, X-Cube.
I want to hear the setup to that, bro. Like, I want to hear how the person got this transgender person just to come up with that and say that.
It sounds pretty staged. I mean, like, we're just saying, even the like probability of running into someone like that on the street, you know, just randomly like that, that's willing to talk on camera about something, you know.
I don't know, man. Ever since the past year and a half, I swear I never saw transgender people. Man, this past fucking 2 weeks, I've seen six. But the place I'm at, they didn't exist. But they're popping up everywhere.
Well, I'm in Denver. I seen a few. Actually, earlier today, I was at a grocery store, and I seen the largest bodybuilder dressed as a woman walking in shopping. And he had a short skirt on, too. And just the biggest fucking legs I've ever seen, and it was quite terrifying.
Did he have a big ass?
I was big enough. It was big enough for me to, you know, look up and say, "What the fuck is this, Jesus?" But yeah, they're around. They're around.
Yeah, bro. If you go to Santa Ana, California, dude, all of the prostitutes, all of the hookers are all transgender dudes.
That's like straight false up advertising, isn't it?
Straight up, and some of them are fucking hot, bro. Some of them are hot. I'm like, shit. Yeah, mm. Some of them, I don't even know, dude. Every time I run through there, I'm like, oh, yep, that's, yep, nope.
The deception is real.
Hey, once we get done with this, I got a video I want to play for you guys.
Yeah, you should be allowed to. You're okay. Good.
Yeah, let it rip.
This is my favorite video of the week.
Hopefully it doesn't do the echo thing.
I don't know what the fuck's wrong with my shit. Oh, I love this one. He showed me this earlier.
That's that.
Welcome to our reality,
everyone. I don't know why, but I've been watching that all week. I just find it hilarious.
Yeah.
She got knocked the fuck out.
So if you get punched by a girl, is it okay to knock her the fuck out?
Well, I don't know.
Absolutely. Let me tell you. I was a cop for a long time. Women fucking think they can kick your ass and everything's going to be cool. That's how it is. And it ain't cool. So yeah, you can knock them the fuck out. And that's the advice I would give people.
Well, I don't know. My mom always told me, she said, don't come home and let me know that a girl kicked your ass. I said, if she swings on you, it's obvious that she's ready for that hand-on-hand combat, man-to-man. So it's just, hey, it just is what it is then. But I'm not condoning just going out there and swinging on women like this black guy recently done on a subway train while the boyfriend sat right there and watched it and did nothing. I said, damn, man. I mean, if the guy hit your girlfriend, but you at least. Man, I may die that day, but damn it. I mean, I'm going down swinging. I mean, somebody's going to feel me. That's all I'm saying.
I love how that dude behind the counter fucking broke a tray over her head, bro. That was some force. He was swinging that bad boy, dude.
I don't know. Hey, it may have been partially cracked already, you know, like in WWE and stuff like that. Yeah, it's like partially cracked. So, you know, they.
I don't know, bro. You were swinging it with some force, dude. He wasn't playing around.
X-Cube, you're absolutely right. The pacification and demasculinization of men in our modern society is very concerning. Like you said, you know, if I was with any female, it doesn't matter if she's my girlfriend or not, and someone punches her, you're right. I may die that day. Who knows? It doesn't matter. I'm still going to attempt to make the other person suffer or die, you know? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's bad often. And I had there was another bad clip that I seen, and I went by it, and they were doing homecoming, and they were like, the homecoming queen this year is Zachary Williams. I'm like, hey, that's a fucking dude, man. What do you mean the homecoming queen? I mean, obviously it's Halloween, so I mean,
we got the first playing games. America's first 4-star admiral in the fucking health corps is a man. So not too far off.
Yeah, that was a woman, supposedly. Yeah, the first woman.
Ah, fuck her. It's just ridiculous.
I'm so confused. I don't know. I don't know what's real anymore. None of it is real.
Oh no, this past year and a half has been some sick joke. And well, it's not funny.
I think we are on the road to some interesting times. How many of you think that within the next 5 years we may be in a situation where we might have to live off the land and then shoot a few people who try to get on our land, you know, into some Mad Max territories?
It's a real possibility.
You know,
100%.
Society is very thin. It's very thin.
Mm-hmm.
You see this with toilet paper. I mean. Black Friday. It's just shit, dude. It's just, I mean, it's very, very thin.
We're inching closer to that, you know, that little midget riding on that jumbo dude's back. What was that? Man, I forget his name. In the second Mad Max.
I don't know.
The Thunderdome.
I don't know. The places that I think are inching closer is the places that are about to fire about 30% of their cop force.
Oh, yes.
The beginning of December.
New York, man. They're going to, man, that's going to descend into the seventh circle of hell very soon.
Only about 2/3 of city employees, including fire and sanitation and all that, are actually reporting. It's not even so much the vaccination as it is they won't report it. So, yeah, that's a big chunk. New York couldn't survive that. Chicago is getting fucked, too. They can't survive. None of them can survive, and it's all part of the plan. This is all the dissension is part of their it's already baked in.
It goes along with the demasculinization and the feminization of men, because they don't want us to be able to defend ourselves against anything that's coming like this shit. You know, they want us to run away from a fight.
They anticipate our reactions before they implement any of this shit. And that's obvious when you go and you read all those pandemic documents, you know, all the pre-pandemic SPARS documents and Event 201. Like, they know what's going to happen before they implement the plan. So you have to assume that our dissent and protests and all that is part of the outcome that they're anticipating.
Yeah, that's why they'll never let anything real rise up. No real movement will ever happen. Right, because they just they'll squash the shit out of it.
They need guns and lots of them.
I'm wondering, where are these, you know, ex-military guys, these gung-ho patriot types that I know a few years ago, not even, you know, they might have stood up even more and made their voices heard more. But where are these guys now? I mean, where is the resistance?
Well, you have a lot of them are getting kicked out of the military because they won't take the vaccine. And they're going to do something because they're pissed and they know what's going on. So we never know. It might take a year or two, but we might see some real militia type shit pop up.
That's what we need, you know, in my opinion.
You mean like a purge type event?
Not necessarily a purge, but we need some resistance, man. We need some organization, some people getting together behind the scenes, some of our own secret societies to maybe shift this agenda in our way, man. Because you know, like coming out and talking about it is one thing, but we need to take the second step. And
did anybody see the Forever Purge?
Not yet.
I've watched all the Purge movies. I haven't seen that one yet, but I've watched all the other ones.
It's good. It's good. And it sets the tone for the next movie to be really good. So yeah, Forever Purge. You're just like, fuck you. We're not stopping. And everybody just keeps killing.
Man, the predictive programming on like Netflix and these TV shows have been off the charts lately. Like Ryder and I was talking about the American Horror Story with the whole Roswell thing in the second half. And then we got this Inside Job thing on Netflix where they're just like totally fucking blowing the conspiracies out and throwing it in our faces. And it's hilarious, you know, but it is condescending in a way, like Corey says, you know, they're just kind of making us seem like a joke, really. You know, they want, I think their idea is to make it seem like a joke to the mass majority of the people. I don't know. Have you seen Inside Job, Brandon?
Yeah, it's great, man. Yeah, I watched a couple of the first two episodes. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was fun. It's funny. It's really well written. They're just throwing it out there. And it's just like, well, fuck it. I mean, you know, you're seeing, you know, Biden sitting in the White House where they don't even bother to match up the seams anymore in the corner. So who gives a shit? You know, it's all out in the open anyway. Like, nobody cares. They're just putting it out there. It's all over, man. It's all crumbling down. They don't even seam the damn thing. They don't even have the right wallpaper on the wall. Outside the window, it's trucks parked and not.
Yeah, I know, man. What's up with that?
They don't even care. They're not even trying. So why the fuck?
Yeah, they're not lying anymore. They're like, man, the hell with lying, but it's too much effort. And I got to remember what I said. I'm just going to tell you.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be subtle and subconscious or any of that shit anymore. It's everything's out in the open. They're just like, and here's what we're doing. Those who can figure it out, congratulations. We'll come for you in a minute. And those who don't, will inject you with this shit, and then we're gonna kick 5G on, turn you on to zombies, and hopefully take care of some of those smarties. That's what I'm hoping for, dude.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what's gonna happen in like 2 or 3 years
has a zombie protocol.
If this vaccine has some kind of like squids and oogity boogities and zombie protocols to infect your brain and from the 5G and turn you into a fucking zombie, if this happens, how many of you guys are gonna be like, I fucking told you so? No, seriously, what's gonna happen if this is true? You know, are we ready for a society to be turned on to half of them zombies with squids?
I don't see the difference.
No, you're right.
I think the Illuminati's been working for us the entire time.
I think it'll
by removing all the fucking idiots.
The transition as a society running around, and the transition from that to zombie is going to be very smooth. I don't think we'll notice much of anything. It'll just be the same thing. They'll just be a little bit more flesh hungry. You know, that'll really be.
Zombification. Maybe it's not through us in this state, but just think about what Facebook, which is now Meta, just put out. So, hey, you can be in the metaverse. I don't know if anybody watched the
what the fuck is that, bro? I don't even know yes, anything about that.
Movie, okay. Ready Player One.
Ready Player One. Yeah.
It's exactly
that. It's exactly that. And of course, as you know from Ready Player One, they wanted to be in that universe because when they were in reality, it was shit. It yes. was terrible.
Yeah.
So that's the whole premise. Any of these, God, I'm trying to think of the other movie, Surrogates, I believe, with Bruce Willis, yeah. where yeah. you actually live Great through movie. A robot body.
Yep.
And yeah. as opposed to you going out in public. So that's the way they want to push everybody.
Even worse than Surrogates is that they took over a human body, like Bruce Willis's wife or whatever. And she had to go out mm-hmm. and fuck all those people in the street because that guy was controlling her because that was her job. Her job was to be this dude's legs that would like go shopping or do whatever, deprive mm-hmm. whatever they wanted. That was fucked up, but good call on that. But yeah, it is. It feels like that. And then they'll just be there. They're going to make money in there. They're going to be able to interact with everyone. Everyone they want to hang out with is in there. They've isolated mm-hmm. it so much that now everyone's connecting more like this, guys. Zoom. We don't live in the same fucking states, half of us. So, I mean, you know, you have this anyway. We're already doing that. So now if we get paid to sit here and do this, why the fuck would you go outside? That's how they jam you into the small cities, because they just give you a pod because that's all you want to mm-hmm. do. You sit there and you're in your pod. That's your job. That's your hang. That's everything.
Yeah. And then you can be whatever you want to be then. Whatever, right. whatever yeah. your now avatar you're,
well,
is, yeah.
which a lot of people do on the internet anyway. They only post the happy shit or they cry to get attention, whatever, but it's a fake version, whatever they put out. Same thing. It's just this transhumanism, this unauthenticity, this detachment from nature and natural law. And that's what this shit is, because it's fucking, it's weird and it's not right. You know, we shouldn't be doing this shit. But this is what I see coming for that, since we're talking about it. That's kind of it. People mm-hmm. are always going to be on there. And then they're just going to let everything else go to shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's...
It'll make it easier to round up the fucking dissenters, too, because everyone's logged in and not paying attention to the fucking country where everybody moved.
And didn't you hear, Corey, that we're going to have like a fourth booster today? So,
The announcement went out today that some people will need the fourth booster. But remember what happened with the third booster? The FDA said no. Only for 65-year-old and up, and for people who are like needed it, validating conditions, whatever the fuck bullshit they came up with. But then that fucking cunt at the CDC just said, "Now we're gonna throw that out the window, and anybody in a high risk category, which is not defined, can go get it." So basically, anybody who wants to go get it can go fucking get it.
So you get your third and fourth booster, and you plug into the metaverse, and you're fucking set. You ain't got to worry about nothing. I mean, you know, just plug in, tune out. And you're mm-hmm. good.
I just hope that if the vaccine is going to kill these fucking people, can it please like hurry up? I'm really looking for some cheap real estate in Vegas.
They got to pump up the numbers, man. The zombie army can't be bullshit. You know, they got to actually
give right, a good right. challenge.
The graphene goes up, just eats that's you know part of their brain that makes them not want to eat your face, and then now that's gone, and so they just want to eat your face, and so they're pumping the numbers, man. That's what it is.
Hell yeah, graphene zombies, baby.
And they've been sprayed it from the skies anyway, forever, right? Graphene zombie, yeah. Badass. That'd be a good band name, right? Graphene zombie? At least a good t-shirt. Fish, you can work that up?
I got you, man. I got you.
Death metal band?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Like yeah. Cattle Decapitation, something like that.
Cannibal Corpse, bro.
They're a classic.
Oh, Cannibal Corpse. Okay.
Slippery Pubes. Yeah, something.
Yeah, they're a little bit too over the top for me. I might do some doom metal, Swallow the Sun, Catatonia, stuff like that.
I've always been a big fan of Napalm Death, the hardest band in the world.
Wow, yeah.
There you go. Well, how many years do you think we have left before we're actually seeing, you know, Mad Max dune buggies and trying to kill each other for our sandwiches and stuff like that? You think we got time to do a little preparation? Or I mean, they're ramping this up, man. They really want 2030. That's the date.
That's the date that they just keep harping it on.
What is it?
So,
2030?
Yeah, 2030. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know, so man. I think 2025 years, is like years. it's creeping up on us, but it's not that far off to think that we could be in a state of like dire straits by that time, you know.
Well, you know, their statement is equality. Now, equality ain't got nothing to do with, you know, you actually having anything. You can be equally just batshit poor and just it's a fucking hate life. But hey. Everybody's down there together. Well, I mean, we're up here, you know, Hunger Games type situations. So,
Well, let's get woo woo. Brandon Ryder. All right, I know you're with me on this one. We talked about this before. How there is, I believe, there's a split in timelines right now. There's a split in reality. Some people are experiencing a reality where there's a fucking pandemic, where people are dropping dead on the streets. Karen's yelling at you, and you better go get that fucking vaccine, or you're gonna drop dead. You better get your booster, or the world's gonna end, and your eyeballs are gonna pop out of your asshole. Okay, so that's one reality. And then we have this other reality where I walk outside, and the sky's blue, and the birds are chirping, and I'm smoking my joint, and I'm looking at this hot chick over here. And everything's beautiful in my world. So, and I know a bunch of other people where everything's Corey. Everything's beautiful in his world. Ryder, I think it's pretty beautiful in yours. Brandon, I know it's beautiful down in Texas in your world. And X-Cube, I'm pretty sure your life is pretty beautiful as well. So we're living in this beautiful reality with hot asses everywhere. And all these other people are living in this fucked up, get a jabby jab in your rectum or die reality. So, what do you guys think about that, Ryder?
Mm. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yes, I think a lot about it. I've been mowing over the idea of a consensus reality and its possible non-existence quite a bit lately. So, I've been thinking about that. Maybe I've been on the vein that we're all experiencing this, and it's a very personal experience, no matter what you think this is, globe, plane, simulation, whatever the fuck you want to say it is, whatever from your perspective is nothing 100% that you could ever share, articulate anything to any other person, creature, anything here. That being said, if this is a very personal experience, and if you go by the thinking that you do create your reality because you can see this, you can see evidence of change, even on the non-woo-woo level, you work out, you get bigger, you get healthier, whatever. You eat better, you get healthier, all that good shit. You make better decisions, you have a better life, like all of these things. But on a deep metaphysical level, possibly, if that's the case, then you really do create your reality. Therefore, all of the things presented to you out there that you're just witnessing because you're just the observer, then they're just options. They're not what's actually happening. They're just choices for you to invest your energy and attention into, which is your only currency and your means of creation. So if you're here creating this reality, you do it through your intent and your attention and your vibration and your feelings, which are caused by what you input and what you, how you feel about what you're inputting, right? What makes you feel like if you go outside and you feel good doing that and you continue to do that, you feel good. It's a vibrational thing, right? So you just create opportunities to do more of that. But if you're scared of a jab, if you're scared of getting this thing, if you're scared of wearing masks, if you're scared and in that fear state, then you just attract more situations to be scared of. So you will manifest and experience those things in your life. You see reports all over the place. I traveled all over Europe, you know, whenever this thing was supposed to happen, not once got asked for a vaccine passport. No one gives a shit. Everyone's mingling. No one's wearing masks. Then you have other reports.
A lot of Europe's not participating, man. It's great.
Well, what's great is it could be a participation thing or on a woo-woo level, since you asked for that, then it's like a literal thing. There are videos of people that are being passed around, authenticated or not. The idea holds that there are people for the Afghanistan, for instance, and there's a shop, you know, a street with a storefront, a cafe and all that shit and the signs. And so there's signposts and people running down the street and they're crazy and they're panicking and everything's falling over. Another video, same place from that cafe, same time of day, same street. Landmarks are all the same, quiet. Everyone's sitting there having coffee, drinking. No war, no explosions, no nothing going on. Other examples are in Australia right now with what's going on there. There's either an authoritarian, horrible lockdown, crazy thing going on in the street and rioting and cops getting, you know, shooting everybody and all that shit and people getting plowed over. And then same street, same location, same day, time stamped and everything. Nothing going on. Everyone chilling. Cops interacting with people, no one wearing masks, a literal different place. So you're seeing videographic evidence in this place, rather authentic or not, that shows two different realities existing here from different perspectives at the same time. That's really what I think is going on here with all of this shit. I think it's just what you want to put your attention to is what you will experience. So if you're not scared of this, you're good, dude. Just carry on, man.
Man, that's fucking deep.
Yeah, I think that there's two different kinds of reality in it. There's a personal individual reality, and then there's a collective reality. And the problem is a lot of people is tapped into the collective reality, right? Because they don't have common sense, critical thinking, or any individuality, so they go along with the herd, right? And the collective reality has been shepherded, manipulated, tuned, adjusted, to fit somebody else's version of reality, the reality that's been programmed for you to be in, right? Instead, what we need to be doing is realizing that we are in a Matrix kind of system. And go rewatch the fucking Matrix. Holy shit. I just rewatched the trilogy the other day. Some mind-blowing shit. Like, so much good stuff in there. And we do indeed create our own personal reality, but the issue and the problem is people don't know that that's possible, right? So they keep falling into the collective reality that everybody else is in because they lack that individuality, even know the difference or know that they can create their own reality. So your thoughts and your ideas and your beliefs is what creates your reality. It's an egregorical kind of system, and what you put your thoughts, your beliefs is the most powerful consciousness that we have that we can possibly tap into. So if you believe something with every fiber of your being, then that's going to come into your reality. But, and again, they've gotten everyone to believe in something that is completely non-existent, right? And then that completely shifts the reality and brings that thing into their reality, even though it's not even fucking real. And that's the way that it works with everything.
Yeah. And if you look at it to add to that, would be on a spiritual level, we think, or some people estimate that it's anywhere between 15 to 10%. Yeah. 15 to 10%, something like that, of the population that's actually like awake or whatever, conscious, at least with a little bit of critical thinking. I would say everyone on this panel falls into that category, for sure. And then there's a bunch of people running around that are NPCs or non-playing characters. They're there and designed either spiritually or by a system of some type to be there as this mass majority of deception for you to figure things out for yourself. Like, that's the point. And it's supposed to be overwhelming. It's supposed to look like you're the only one because you're the hero in here. It's your journey. It's the hero's journey. It's your story. So you've got to, but there's aid out here. There's like super friends, you know, that are the 15% that you can connect with. And nowadays it's even better because we can do shit like this, right? And so that also plays into this. It's like an option, you know. Yes, you can join the Black Hats and go do that. It's like a cross between the Matrix and Westworld. You know, it's like this choice for you. And all these things out here are just options. But the ones that aren't going to lead you to your highest good, and probably the reason that you're here, even though you forget that at some level, is because it's an overwhelmingly stupid fucking thing. So it's clear and obvious that that's not the right pick for you, you know, because it rings the same bells for all of us as it does. It's so clear. It's like, yes, duh. Why don't people see it? And that's something that we get frustrated with as researchers and lighthouses for this kind of idea. But that's the thing, you know, they're not supposed to. We're not supposed to wake any fucking body up. You're just supposed to figure it out for yourself and then meet with like-minded people and then fucking could create a new world, man. That's the game. That's the whole fucking thing. But yes, it looks fucking daunting. And all the systems, of course, have to be fucking ran that way because that's it. It has to be this ridiculous adversity, even though it's not, because you just recognize it for what it is. It's the resistance and you tell it to fuck off, and off it fucks. It's great.
Like in the Matrix, bro, like why didn't Morpheus, why wasn't Morpheus the one? Why wasn't Trinity the one? And I figured it out and it clicked with me. It was because they didn't fucking believe that they were the one, right? Yeah. Any of them could have been the one, but they didn't believe that they were, so therefore they weren't, if that makes any kind of sense.
It definitely does, but this also speaks to the hero's journey thing I was just talking about, because Neo is the hero, and instead of us being in the character's shoes, which you are in this reality, it's a documentary in the sense, Keanu Reeves said that, it's a documentary in the sense of the perspective of which it's shot, so it's you observing as the observer in this reality, your avatar, which is you, which is the hero. So of course it had to be Neo. There was only ever one, just like you. Right. You're the hero of your story. You're the only one.
Yeah, we're all the one.
Exactly. That's the point. That's the exact point.
Except for the NPCs.
They're just NPCs. They're just fucking nobodies, right?
How many NPCs you know, X-Cube? You know a few NPCs in your life? I know I meet some every day.
100%, dude.
I've actually been able to reach a whole bunch of people where I'm at in my area, as far as with my job and everything. I've actually been able to reach a whole bunch of people, but I think they won't fully entrench. But what I believe is that what this has done has given people who otherwise feel like they have no meaning in life a reason to live. It's given them a home. The cult has, because the numbers, of course, seem so overwhelming. The narrative is on all of their favorite stations. So now they feel like they're a part of something, where before, probably a lot of these people were depressed. A lot of them didn't have a whole lot going for them. And now this came along and they're like, man, I'm helping change the world. You know, that whole thing where you feel like you're doing something for the betterment of all, when really you are probably bringing everybody closer towards slavery, if anything.
Well, I think it's working on both sides. You know, people are falling into mm-hmm. their own, whether you're falling into, you know, sucking the devil's dick or helping people's out. You're kind of coming into what you're meant to be. And if you're meant to be a slave to Satan and lead people down the wrong path, that's what you're going to become during these wonderful times. But if you're meant to, you know, to lead people on the path of light and help people wake up, that's what you're going to do. So, yeah, I think you're right about that one.
Yeah, but there is something very weird about the people that they have up on TV, because they're all like, they've got like lifeless faces. And then when somebody poses a question to them, they go right back to the same talking point. It's never a discussion or anything. It's just like, hey, you know, I seen something up here recently on Twitter. The dad had a picture of the bed where his 14-year-old son, he had got the Pfizer jab, got both of them. His son was in there hooked up in a hospital bed, myocarditis. And he's like, I can't wait to give this to my 9-year-old because I want him to be protected from COVID. And I'm like, man, your son's over there, you know, he's about to die. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, he's struggling. And he's like, man, I can't wait to give this to my 9-year-old. It's like, I mean, are you that disconnected from reality? It's just like, whatever happens, it doesn't matter. You have to go back to the same talking point. It's like in the Jumanji movie. You know, he said his little skit. He took him to the place. They asked him another question. He said, I hope you have a good journey. And that's it. That's it. That's all. The only talking point is that go get a vaccine. Go get a vaccine.
Don't you know that all the fucking television hosts are fucking interdimensional fucking robots sent from the future to fucking infiltrate and change the past to save the future?
Thank you, they brother. You like beat it. Me to it, dude. Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
You know what those are? Like X-Cube, what those are artifacts of the Matrix. They're here to act as billboards to get your attention to drive the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
They're billboards. They're artifacts of the Matrix. Have you ever like been talking to somebody about sports or whatever? I don't know, normal 3D person bullshit. And then all of a sudden you go, you know, Building 7's kind of weird, right? And you see this like look go over their face and they shift. They call that the Mr. Smith scenario. So this is Mr. Smith, or an artifact of the Matrix, one of the programs here to stop you, that steps in and takes over the cognitive function for the rest of the time that you are talking about something you shouldn't be. So whenever mm-hmm. you bring this shit up, it's ridiculed, it's all that, but there's this Mr. Smith thing. What? Notice it next time. And even just bring it up to strangers for fun. How's the day? The weather's crazy. Epstein didn't kill himself, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, just have fun with it. Just play around with it and see the kind of reaction that you get. But you will see this. I just call them artifacts, or artifacts of the Matrix. They're representative of the system that steps in and stops you from further pursuit of that conversation.
That's a good way to look at it.
Fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah.
I believe that, because I mean, it's everywhere. People just try to go up there and have dialogue with these people, and there's no dialogue to be had. They say the exact same thing every single time. I'm like, you don't have any other talking points? I mean,
well,
none?
What cracks me up is you watch these fucking fake doctors. Well, they're real doctors, but they shouldn't be. Get on CNN and all these fucking news networks. And in the same sentence, they'll be like, you can still get and transmit the virus, but you need to get it to the unvaccinated need to protect the vaccinated. What the fuck are you talking about? The IQ level that they anticipate society really is at is just got to be like in the 70s to be trying to shill that nonsense. The idea, and in general, the idea that a vaccine is better than natural immunity is just completely and totally so utterly fucking ridiculous. Like,
what?
They're pissing on our leg and telling us it's raining. That's what they're doing.
The Red Cross has got it up there on their site. I did a video on it. The Red Cross has it on their site. They're like, Yeah, the reason we don't want the plasma from people who just had the vaccine only is because it's shit to us. It does nothing. It's like you need you need to be exposed to the multiple proteins in order for this to work. And the vaccine only does one spike protein. So, I mean, yep. It says it right up there on the Red Cross website. And I'll show that to somebody. And they're like, oh, and it
was,
nah, man.
This week was hilarious. Fucking Bolsonaro down in Brazil this week came out and said that people were getting AIDS from it quicker than anticipated.
God damn!
Oh, well, you know, hey, as I did a video last year, they were like, "Hey, man, we stopped doing the vaccine test because of false HIV positives." I'm like, oh, "Why the hell would you be testing people for HIV after giving them the vaccine?"
Well, I mean, it wouldn't even make any sense. There's a couple different versions of HIV in that fucking thing, right?
I think that's so right in there, right, Corey? Something like that.
Okay. I got a video I want to play real quick, and this will sum it all.
The same lady
fucking up. No, this is better.
So good. You just played the same video.
Yeah.
New information.
Yeah, beat over the head.
University of Queensland's potential coronavirus vaccine with CSL has been abandoned after trial participants returned false positive HIV test results. This was one of four vaccines which the Morrison government had entered into a deal with and is a blow to Australia's potential pool of vaccine options. Let's go live to Canberra now for some reaction with Tom Connell. Tom, good morning to you. It's a significant development.
It is. So this is reported this morning from Rob Harris in Nine Newspapers. This deal has been abruptly terminated. The timeline was this. On Monday, CSL, working with UQ, found this issue. They informed the government by Thursday, National Cabinet had abandoned the use of the vaccine. There were 200 trial participants in this vaccine. Several of them have returned false positives. That's important to stress, false positives for HIV. And sources, according to this story, are saying these people are not actually at risk. So how has this happened? Well, this vaccine actually uses a small component derived from HIV. So it's able to, it's used in the vaccine. It's not able to infect people nor replicate in the body.
What bullshit.
It is able to do is start a response within the body that can actually interfere the screening process. And so that means return a false positive. We don't know how long the false positive, so this was always warned about. So
no, it was always warned about.
And it was always a possibility. Why this decision? Well, this appears to be out of an abundance of caution. We know the importance of having confidence in vaccines. We know the risk of misinformation in these campaigns. And it appears
the Studio 54
for that reason,
variant.
We'll hear more from the government, of course, later on today. But it appears for that reason, it has been scrapped completely. So
that's pretty much the bulk of what I wanted to, of the important shit. So the vaccine is made with a portion of HIV, and the portion of HIV is in the lipid nanoparticle. There's 80 nucleotide pairs that was taken directly from HIV to make the lipid nanoparticle. And what really that's what I've concluded that is supposed to do is to make HIV, it binds to human cells really well. And so I think that by inserting HIV, it almost guaranteed human affinity. And so that's why the HIV gets used all the fucking time, because I don't believe HIV is a virus. I don't think I think HIV is an exosome or a virus that was created by the body at some point, because like to this day, they still haven't been able to explain how HIV causes AIDS. Like, not at all. But I think that it does work well with the human body because it originated from the human body at some point.
Maybe this is what we're talking about. We haven't even considered this, but I think you've really nailed it here with this, just this idea alone, because it seems like they're going to make all the people that were vaccinated super fucking sexy. And they've got HIV now. And they're just going to fuck everyone to where everyone has HIV. That's the zombie apocalypse. That song, Everyone Has AIDS, from Team America World Police, is predictive programming. That's what's going
to
happen.
Well, when you really start to dig into AIDS and HIV, you really come to realize that AIDS doesn't kill anybody. AIDS is a combination of syndromes, right? And so you can have pneumonia or one of 100 other diseases that already fucking exists that happen when you have a weakened immune system, right? So all these people test positive for HIV, probably because of drug use, things like poppers and stuff like that. Almost everybody in the 80s who was coming down with HIV or tested for HIV. And we're not even getting into the tests because it's the same exact thing with COVID. It's just as bullshit with HIV testing as it is with COVID testing. So, but yeah, initial drug use causes a weakened immune system, causes your body to create exosome. This is my theory, by the way, causes your body to create this exosome to fight this very specific type of drug-induced immune deficiency. And then because then they test you positive for AIDS, then they get you on AZT, and AZT destroys your immune system and you die of something. But I do not believe for a split second HIV actually turns into AIDS. They can't explain how it does.
It just, Corey, I took a picture of it because I knew I was going to forget it, but I just pulled up seeing how we talked about HIV. Do you know they got class action lawsuits coming out against some of these drugs that are supposed to be helping the HIV patients? Was it Truvada, Viriad, Atripla, Strabield, Caplera, kidney disease, kidney failure, bone fracture, osteoporosis? I mean, it's just like, hold on a second. I mean, was folks dying from HIV or were they dying because of what y'all were giving them?
Yes.
I mean, you see what I'm saying?
I liked how they really like put it out there to make sure you knew that it was false positives.
Yep.
But it sounds like to me that they just gave a shit ton of people fucking HIV.
Very bold.
I want to screen share one more article because just people don't really keep up with what's going on with AIDS or HIV. And they've been doing nothing but backtracking for fucking 30 fucking years. This article right here is another great example.
You know, HIV we're talking about this, AIDS. About how we're kind of mad that we were tricked about the whole AIDS thing through our childhood and 80s and mm-hmm. teenage years, man. We could have been
like, gotcha.
I'd have fucked way more shit without a rubber.
Exactly.
So maybe, HIV maybe, particles do not cause AIDS. Our own immune cells do. And when you, I've actually read this before, when you go through and you read this, what it ends up saying is that free floating HIV in your system, if you're exposed to HIV, HIV does not bind or damage T cells. And another article I found that just came out like 6 months ago that confirmed this says that they believe it's clustered HIV that damages the T cells, right? So you have a whole bunch of HIV clustered in one spot, which from my understanding is exactly what a fucking exosome would do if it's trying to clean out toxins from your body. This matches the functionality seems to be exactly the same and the clustering would be the same. So, but yeah, now they're saying that in order to get AIDS from HIV, you have to have these clusters of HIV attacking the T cells, not individual. So the whole fucking 40-year narrative has just went out the window 6 months ago, and it hasn't even been on the news.
Man, they want to give us all fucking AIDS.
It's all a fucking lie. Spanish flu was mostly bacterial pneumonia. Polio, I did a show on polio. That was complete bullshit. AIDS is bullshit. COVID's bullshit. We've never had a pandemic.
Yeah.
Period. If we had a real pandemic, motherfuckers would be dead in the streets. Then he'd be rioting and fucking anarchy. Seriously.
Yeah, I think the only real thing would be like the Black Death, where it like seriously took like 200 years to recoup the population.
Who knows, like, man? 500 years, you could have a lot of propaganda in there, man. Who knows? Who knows if it was even real? That's the next thing I'm going to have to look into. Could have been just a political propaganda campaign. You never know.
There's some theories and I were talking about that up to 1,000 years could have been either added or taken away to our timeline. I don't know. You know, it's fucked up. We don't know.
A phantom time theory.
Right. Yeah.
That's Atari and shit, where they exactly. But the Dark Ages were inserted as a place marker because they couldn't come up with this time. Now, there's a couple of really cool, fun fucking theories about this that there's really interesting things like the Carrington event that happened in, 1860, something like that, 1850, somewhere in there. Anyway, big solar event where it seems like people just fucking vanished. And this could have happened to explain a bunch of other things if you kind of track similar solar anomalies back in time, like the Mayans or the Aztecs or something, where these civilizations just vanished, Jonestown perhaps. But also you look at it from a new perspective when things just start to vanish and go away like that. So with the Carrington event, though, that's what the buildings with Tatari and shit were all about, is because they took pictures like midday and no one was there. There were mud streets and all these ornate buildings and nothing was there in the 1860s. Now, another fun one is that the rapture happened then. And that's why like gravestones stop and shit. So we're actually living in a post rapture world. That's fucking trippy.
It is.
So, also look at the World's Fairs too, bro. Have you ever looked into the World's Fairs, Brandon?
Yes, that's all tied in and how they just destroyed him and the Olympia statue that, and it's crazy. And the foundlings and all of the things that point towards that, that's exactly the fuck what happened. Now, rather the Carrington event was something that caused it or whatever, it's just interesting that that anomaly was noted at that time. And that a bunch of fucking ornate cities like, and Max Egan, man, I had him on the show, got banned from fucking YouTube because we were talking about good
congratulations.
Shit. Anyway, thank you. The audio is still out there if you guys want to check it out. But anyway, we were talking about this, and what, and one great thing that, one great point that he put was, he was like, yeah, 1800s, everybody goes out west to pan for gold. First thing they do when they show up to San Francisco is go to a rock quarry and make the most ornate sewer system on the planet at the time. Like, it was insane how they crafted this thing. He goes, you know, as you do, you know, all these people in these, you know, tents and shit like that. Another interesting myth, if you want to look into this shit too, that's just an easy one to point out as bullshit, are those cameras. Remember how back in the day they used to say that people had to sit there for like 8 minutes because of an exposure time because of those cameras and shit and be perfectly still? Bullshit. If you look at any photos of cities, of people running through a city, they're all moving, it's kinetic, and they're crystal clear, not one blur in the photo. So right there is an anomaly, just in the fact that the photography was different. And they do this shit to splinter aside just a minute, and then I've got to run. But the JFK and stuff, like your history, they put these photos that were Martin Luther King, they have color photos of this shit, but they put them in black and white to make you think that it was longer. It's a psychological tool. They never show you the color photos of those events. It's just fucking dumb. Anyway, okay. I hate to do it, but I got to bail. Brandon, I just emailed you something. Will you play me out with that?
Awesome, man. Yeah,
guys, this was great. Thank y'all so much, man, for putting up with my nonsense. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Cube, good to see you. Ryder, dude, I'll call you soon. Oh, dude, always a pleasure, man. I love your dog.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Brandon, for being on. That was awesome.
Chris, grateful. Thanks
Had
for the
great
invite.
Time. Yeah, definitely.
All right, we're going to play out with this. You guys check out Expanding Reality. We got a bunch of dope shit going on.
All right, let me see if I can pull this up this time. Hold on, let's see.
Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
I love it.
Can you guys see my screen here?
Yep.
Can you guys see? Hello?
We got echo.
I can't hear you.
Might be better. Okay, guys, I love y'all. So this is the end of our story. And everyone is dead. It took from me my best friend, my only true pal, my only bright star. Well, I'm gonna march on Washington, lead the fight and charge our gates. There's a hero inside of all of us. I'll make them see everyone has AIDS. My father, my sister, my uncle, and my cousin, and my cousin. The gays and the straights and the whites in the space. Everyone has AIDS. My grandma and my dog go blue. All right, I hope you guys could hear that.
Why can't you hear it?
I don't know.
Thank you. Later.
All right. Thank you, Brandon.
Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Worked better with the echo. It was good with the echo.
Nice. Sweet. I don't know what's going on with my system. All right, guys. Let's close out on this. Do reptilians rule our society? Ryder.
Fucking maybe. I don't know. I really don't know. They could be. They could be down in their subterranean layer, fucking having orgies and shit and trying to take over the world, dude. I don't.
Well, like we learned from Inside Job, we have to address their cloacas, or they will be very mad at us if we do not acknowledge their cloaca. So
I have a cloaca.
It's a sex dungeon. It's a sex dungeon. That's the proper term. Sex dungeon.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I think that anything that gets steam like that is just a bullshit like psyop thing, right? I think that if they really do exist, I don't think that they're trying to take over the planet. They're just down there doing their
own. They just
want to
fuck, you know? Just they want to have their reptile orgies, you know? Get that cloaca action.
Hey, is this coming off the heels of that commercial where they used the velociraptor to talk to the UN?
What? What happened now? I think I missed this one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you haven't seen that?
No,
I missed this one. A new commercial where they used a velociraptor to talk to the United Nations about climate change and about how you don't want to end up like us. It's like, do what? Man, there were no dinosaurs, man. I'm just looking at it. I'm just like, man, there's no way in hell, dude.
Oh, this so you're ain't. Of the conspiracy of no dinosaur theory.
It
right?
just ain't, man. I just it's just hard for me to believe, man. I just don't get it.
What is your favorite dinosaur, X-Cubed?
Velociraptor.
Velociraptor. What's your favorite non-pornographic magazine to masturbate to?
What the fuck?
Good housekeeping, bro.
You got to remember the Step Brothers, man. You got to remember the Step Brothers.
Yeah.
It's good housekeeping, dog. Come on, bro. It's either that or the Sears, the old Sears catalogs. Them bitches were looking fucking good.
Oh, yeah, dude. Man. Oh, I remember spending some time with that Sears catalog.
But look, me and my friends back in the day, you know, we'd buy the Playboy magazines and we like to go to the section where they would ask questions, ask the people at Playboy questions. And the one question up there that I always got is, it said, does Michelin tires really get 70,000 miles? I'm like, is this in Playboy right now? You're yeah. like, I mean, occasionally, I mean, I don't know how to answer that. So.
Man, I feel bad good. For, like, you know, the magazine company, the porno mag companies. They probably can't be doing too well now with, like, Pornhub and OnlyFans. You know, it's all interactive shit. You get to see.
There's always some broke-ass creeper without the internet.
Yeah, you're right. Or, like, true. You know, 70-year-old dudes who haven't caught on yet. You know, they have their stash of porno mags.
No, there was a guy who used to work with us. He was one of our shuttle drivers, and he would joke, but he was serious. He's like, you know, I might go home and I might, you know, I might buy me a flick on DirecTV. I'm like, bro, you know that stuff is free, right?
There's a world, a fucking world of porn that you don't have it's to pay like, for.
It's like OnlyFans. It's like, hey, man, you know it's free, right? I mean, you don't have to pay them because I watched somebody who talked about how the OnlyFans thing is set up. So you get a subscription from them, and he just went and tested some places. Well, when you get the subscription, then they've got separate videos within that you have to pay for as well. You know, they'll give you a little bit of glimpse here and there, but then they got separate videos throughout that you have to pay for as well. So you might be with them for $10 a month, and then if you want this extremely hot video, that's an extra $15. And folks are paying it, bud. I'm just like, dude. Oh, yeah.
You want that ping pong popping out of that thing video? You got to pay extra.
Exactly. With that particular face as well.
Get that ping pong popping, baby. I'm going to pay for it. I'm huge. I'll pay for that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why you see all these women. They're like I seen the one thing. It was she was like, oh, yeah, I was a preacher. But, you know, I decided to kick all my kids to the curb, divorce my husband, and start sliding stuff in me on OnlyFans. And it's worked out for me. I'm like, hot damn.
Hey, you do you, boo-boo. You know what I'm saying? You do you. If that's what makes your money, go get it, girl.
I completely support the OnlyFans.
She says she's making $100K a month. I'm like, from who?
Do they have to verify people's ages on there? Like, do you have to sign up with a fucking ID or some shit?
You're supposed to. It's supposed to be verified.
Man. That's fucked.
Yeah.
Well, what we need next, I guess, is reptilians on OnlyFans, and then the cycle will be complete.
All right, guys, that was awesome. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We went for a while. Thank everyone in the audience for hanging out for our debaucherous night. And we will, of course, be back on Sunday with Day Zero. Have no idea who'll be joining us besides X-Cube and Corey, but we'll be back then. Thank you, Ryder, for stopping by tonight. That was an awesome time. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening, and we'll talk again next time.